DavidRenicky.com, great website. The man's even better. David Renicky, hello.
Still locked up in this room, Bilko, but happy as Larry. The skies are nice and clear.
He's had a couple of glasses of wine, so he's very happy, and that sort of lubricates the mind for our chat each week.
Look, you know me only too well.
Look, the world's criticising Trump, I mean, for his handling of COVID in America, and, okay, fair enough, that's for them to worry about, but He's looking towards the sky while all this stuff's going on down on the ground, and apparently he signed an executive order to support mining on the moon. Is that really practical, David?
Oh, yeah, and about time, too. Look, for whatever you think of this guy, I mean, he's in the midst of all that's going on, he's still running a very active and proactive, indeed, and speculative moon program, getting astronauts back to the moon like we said we do, and talking about mining the moon now and realizing that the entrepreneurial side is still very, very active. These are people with a keen eye for business who want to develop things like the moon and other places and also mine asteroids. Believe you me, they're sitting out there waiting, ready to go. Now that Trump has signed an order that makes it possible, not only possible, but legal, for the ordinary everyday entrepreneur to go and mine the moon and also asteroids.
Yeah.
we now see the start of what could be a whole brand new industry. The path is clear now to go and make money out of space.
How does that work practically? How do we get the materials from the surface of the moon back to here?
That minor thing has not been worked out yet.
Right. Yeah, okay. It's great to talk about it, but you need some sort of, I know we've talked about the space elevator before, but we need something that can physically take off from the moon or maybe get it into an orbit and then get it back here somehow.
Yeah. Look, the whole thing will be there'll be automated robots on the moon left there to dig the ore. There's helium-3 there that we can use and extract. The raw materials will be collected, no doubt, by robotics, I think, over the next few decades. Human beings there as well to oversee and control it. That all will be put into a cargo vehicle and brought back here, pretty much like we send cargo up to the space station and back. Only this time it'll go to the moon, and we come back here and we just refine it. There is another idea put together by a visionary who died in the 90s, a man who I followed quite closely, Gerard O'Neill. We'll go down in history with hardly anyone knowing who he was, but he was way ahead of his time. He not only envisaged cities in space, you know, floating cities in space that we will have one day, but he also thought up the idea of a thing called a mass driver. Now, a mass driver is simply a conveyor belt type of system with scoops on it that will dig the ore out and fling it into space as fast as it can, fast enough to break free from the moon's orbit. And you don't need to travel very fast to do that. Once it's out there, it can be collected and picked up by, some sort of a spacecraft.
Something with a big scoop on it or whatever,
Yeah. Look, either way you look at it, space mining now has got to go ahead. The executive order has been signed.
Yeah, okay.
And not only will America be there, but this allows other countries to go and do it as well because it's been generally accepted that that it's on.
We've just got to deal with this bug here
first.
Don't
forget there's water ice there too. There's lots of water on the moon.
Get water back. I mean, we're looking at oil going to negative territory, so oil's not an issue now. We've probably got too much of it, but water's always going to be a resource we fight for. And I suppose with Richard trying to keep his Virgin company afloat, he may be looking to, invest elsewhere. But watch this space, as they say. Yeah. Now, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, David, this supernova. Has it been seen yet, this explosion that they said was going to brighten up the sky?
Oh, it's been seen, Rob. You won't be able to go and see it yourself. It's one of those things that you need a powerful telescope to pick up, and we've got those. We've seen a blast that happened 4.5 million years ago, and it released a lot of energy. In fact, this has turned out to be the most powerful explosion ever seen by human beings, the most powerful supernova ever recorded, and the remnants of it are still there. If we backtrack on what we see here, we know that this is a large star, maybe 10, 20, 30 times bigger than our sun. When they blow up, they become what's called a supernova. Here's how it happens. A big star, when it runs out of fuel, will be crushed down by gravity. When that happens, in the time it takes you to blink your eye, the pressure and heat will build up so much inside that the remaining elements will all be fused together, and this thing will go whammo, blow itself apart. And when it does that, a huge amount of energy, light and heat is released. Now, hang on tight, because this is astounding. These are things that you can't conceive. We have a lot of trouble with big figures in astronomy. But when this actual explosion did happen, and it would have been seen by bugs in the water at the time, there were no human beings on the Earth, but anyone who would have been alive at the time would have seen the entire universe light up in front of their eyes. This released, the time it blew up, released, listen to this, 10 times more energy. This is in a fraction of a second. 10 times more energy it released than our sun will release in its entire 5 billion year history.
Is that similar to the theory behind the Big Bang, this micro explosion that's got so much power?
Yeah. Most powerful supernova ever seen. The material blowing out from this, explosive power, the material was pushed into space at 4,600 kilometres per second.
Yeah, okay. Moving out. I can't fathom that. That's just...
in a cloud of hot plasma. Mm. I know. These are the things that you come across, and the figures you come across when we step outside the Earth's boundary. We're used to dealing with inches and centimetres and miles and kilometres and gosh knows what else. Well, look, when you go outside the confines of the Earth's atmosphere, everything changes, I can tell you what. You've got to open your mind up. If you don't, the universe will do it for you. So it shows you that there's power out there, immense power in these stars. But here's one last thing to consider.
Yeah.
Even our own sun, being very tiny, it's not a big star. And that's good, because small stars are very, very, very stable. Big stars aren't. That's why this thing blew up. When you look at the output of our sun here and the amount of energy that we're wasting every second of every day, we don't need fossil fuels. If we could harness this energy, we'd be much better off.
Yes.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
In 10 minutes of just watching the sun or feeling the sun hitting the Earth, there's enough energy in 10 minutes of sunlight equal to the amount of power we use on planet Earth for a whole year.
Seems like a big waste, doesn't it, that we can't harness it and use it for our
well-being.
Amazing.
This is why I always advocate and have advocated, and I will continue to do so, the use of solar energy. It's there for us, and it's free.
Exactly, yeah. But you need to pay thousands for the collectors and converters. This is something we've always got to continue.
Well, look, there was one time the biggest computer took up a whole building at one stage. The biggest battery, the power, things like that, was the size of a small house.
Yeah, amazing. More at davidrenicki.com if you want to explore more of that further. Everyone's talking about this new blue-green comet that's heading our way late May. What do you know about it, David? Where's it coming
from? This is going to be a corker, Strange how it turned out. There was another comet before it called Atlas that's blown up. Remember I told you, we talked about that. Atlas was on its way here and was expected to get very bright at the end of this month. Well, something's gone wrong with it. Astronomers noted about a week or two ago that it's lost its main nucleus is all blown apart. There's probably a dozen bits and pieces from it scattered around. It's still moving around the sun as a comet, but it's not as bright or as active as what it was. So the disappointment was that we weren't going to see this amazing comet that we were told about. It would have been as bright as Venus. So what happens is they're looking in the same distance there, and all of a sudden this new one appears we didn't even know about, called Swan. This is a very old comet. This is a comet that is on its way here. It's got a bright green tail. It should be fairly bright enough to see with the naked eye.
That's the thing I want to know.
Early next month.
Where in the sky should we look? What direction?
Well, I don't know yet. Well, because it hasn't turned up. Its trajectory is still being worked out.
Okay, right.
It'll be in our southern skies. We've got the best view here in Australia and New Zealand. It's going to be a southern hemisphere comet. Thank gosh for that. Most of them are northern hemisphere, so we'll have a clear view of it. When we do see it, it'll be a nice little treat to round off what's going on at the moment.
Well, for COVID lockdown,
planetary lineup.
Yeah, I know, you'll take the kids outside. Hopefully, you know, school will get kids to go and observe it and do something with it with their astronomy lessons. Yeah, it'd be lovely. So,
Forget, we've got a meteor shower this week too.
Oh, okay. So we've got that to look forward to. DavidRenke.com has all the details on those, but I'm looking forward to this big comet. And I know you've been a fan of the Hubble telescope for a long time. It's turning 30 this year. I didn't think it was that old.
Yeah, well, 1990 it was launched into space there. It actually was conceived 20 years before. And the story with this very quickly is when it was built in 1990 and launched in 1990, when they turned it on, it didn't work. Something went wrong.
$2
billion telescope and 20 years' worth of work wasted.
Imagine being the director of that. Astronomers are getting
images worse than you get with a plastic toy telescope. It turns out the mirror was misshapen. Somebody's cut it the wrong way. And here they are, what do we do about it? So they mounted an expedition, went up there and put glasses on it. Spectacles, if you will, or contact lenses. And it's been producing ever since. Very quickly, I was in New York about 12 years ago, and at the Kennedy Space Center. We'd been to New York and had a look at the shuttle and everything. But when I was down there, there was Story Musgrave signing books at the Kennedy Space Center. I thought, oh, can I have a talk to this bloke? He was the one that actually pushed it into orbit.
Literally.
I went over there and had a bit of a talk to him, and he told me about how it was. He got up close to the man who put his hands on the Hubble telescope and placed it into orbit. Bill, can I tell you why?
He wasn't the one who misshaped the mirror. Was that the manufacturer?
No. He was the one that put, actually, him and his crew. And I shook his hand. It was just one of those things you remember in your life. Can I tell you a little secret?
Yeah.
I haven't washed that hand since.
12 years, you said, right. I pity your lady. but see, that's the thing. You've had the experience of meeting some of these people who've been into space. And when you think about it, shaking the hand of a human being who's left the atmosphere, that must be a profound feeling for you.
Not only that, but this guy was, you may not know the name, he's one of the old school, but he was the most celebrated astronaut in history, Story Musgrave. He featured in all the early documentaries. Yeah, look, it is quite a buzz to stand there and realise that this guy not only was blasted into space on a space shuttle there, along with other people, and actually was in orbit and floating free in space, but he grabbed the Hubble telescope out of the cargo bay of the shuttle, and him and his crew actually put it into orbit and gave it
nice,
its push.
Nice.
Oh, I loved it. Great story. I got his T-shirt. That's all I got.
Get a picture of you up on the on your website or Facebook with that T-shirt, mate.
I might do that.
Yeah. Come on. Be good. DavidRenke.com. Check out the website. Details about the Hubble 30th anniversary and everything we've talked about today is up there. David, back to the wine, my friend. It's the way you survive COVID lockdown, and we'll catch you next week.
And we do put the talks we do up on Facebook now, too.